You guys alive and well today? Are y'all? Come on. Good. It's a great Sunday. I'm glad that y'all are here, and I'm excited for really the first step in your best year yet. And it all begins really with you embracing God's purpose and plan for you and your life and what Jesus has for you. Before I get into the message, though, just a couple things, because I've had questions about them. Here's the first one. Is we are partnering with our Savior's Church and our Savior's College. And if you are interested in taking, it's really seminary courses, and you can do that either on a lay level or you can do it for credit, actually, and it'll transfer to pretty much any university anywhere. We're going to be starting that in February, and so you can look that up online, Our Savior's College. I don't know what the thing is, but it's, oh, there it is, oursaviorscollege.com. And we will have a host site here in February on Tuesday nights. Isn't that pretty cool? I'm excited about that. So I hope that some of you, that's your heart. You want to grow in your biblical understanding of what God has for you and what the Bible says. That's a great way to do it. The second thing is every season when the weather is inclement, we partner with Room in the Inn that helps provide a place for homeless people to sleep. And so that is a compilation of a lot of churches, a whole bunch of churches. And in fact, a ton of churches came, they've come in this cold weather. We're working with a bunch of churches and hosting them at Water's Edge. But Monday, it's going to be here Monday night. And if you want to get plugged in with that, I encourage you to do that. Most, I think all of our spots but one is filled, but we can have more. Y'all can come and serve because it's awesome and it's life-giving and it's our heart to be God's hands and feet to those who are in need, isn't it? Come on, is it? Good. Man, that was an amazing worship set, wasn't it? You ever wonder what the point of worship is and why we do it on the front end instead of the back end? I don't know why we do it on the front end. Part of it's cultural, I guess. But here's the other part. Something, listen to me, and this kind of goes with our message today. Something happens when people pray together, and something happens when people worship together. Because you can't worship and be focused on you. I mean, you can, but it's not really worship. Does that make sense? Like, you can worship, but it's not, if it's not focused on you if it's real worship. And you can pray, and real prayer really isn't about you. If you're married, how many of you in here are married? Come on, raise your hand. A lot of married people up in here. That's a lot. Have you ever been in a conversation with your spouse, but you're not really in the conversation? I'm a man, so that's usually me. Like, my wife is not, it's not, I can't remember that. Let me tell you, if we make what we do about us, we miss it. Because it's not about us. Today's message is all about us preparing for a change. The series is New Day, New You. It's 5 steps to your best year yet. And it doesn't mean that the year is easy. It means that it's the best. If you've ever been a part of a team that's won something, you realize that it's amazing to win something, but it's not always easy to do it. Are you guys following me this morning? Y'all got to talk to me today. Can y'all talk to me? Good. Thank you. I got to know that we're getting it. And I got to get a sip of water. Is that all right? And I want us to know and be grateful for the fact that regardless of where we've come from, every day is brand new. Every day is brand new. Like, it's a new day. And here's the thing. It can be easy to wake up and view the day that is to come through the lens of what happened yesterday. It's real easy. I woke up this morning. You know, it was freezing cold yesterday. Y'all notice that? Y'all took notice of the fact that it was nasty? And I woke up this morning before the sun rose. And I went outside, and you know what I saw? Clouds, wind, freezing cold, nasty. And I didn't look at the weather. And I thought to myself, well, this is going to be a disgusting day. And then I came up to the church, and it was starting to get light. But it wasn't until I went back outside a little while later, and you know what I found? It's dripping sunshine. Is it still dripping sunshine? Isn't it gorgeous and amazing? I love it. Doesn't it do your heart good when you see a day go from nasty and cloudy and rainy and cold into something gorgeous? Come on, is it just me or is it y'all? Yes. That's why the scripture, I love it. It's Lamentations. Can we put the scripture up here? It's Lamentations 3. It says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Every morning is a new day. Every morning. I know that's like, well, yeah, Pastor, duh. Tell me something I don't know. I want us to get the truth that we get to start fresh with God right now, if we choose to. That's the whole point. New day. Lord, it's new to you. It's new to me. I want to be in your presence. You know, we're going through 5 steps. Here's the first step. You're going to have to prepare for change. I think this message for me is almost too simple, but it's profound if we apply it. It's like A, B, C, like 1, 2, 3. Like Michael Jackson, y'all remember? Anyway, I'm not going to sing. Y'all don't want me to sing. I'm not gyrant. I can't do that. I can't even dance that good. Whew. So today's message, and really every series, is going to be out of Exodus. And last week we talked about starting with Jesus, and that we looked at Moses as a picture of a deliverer that God sent to take a people out of slavery, bring them to not just freedom, but to the place that he promised them. This is the picture in Exodus that we see in Moses as a type, as a shadow, as a picture of Jesus, God's own son that came and was a deliverer for you and for me to bring us to a place of not just freedom, but to the promise that we have if we follow him. And let me tell you, the promises that we have in Christ are pretty amazing. It doesn't mean that life is easy, and it doesn't mean that we get out of here without death, because the reality is, as you know, 2 things are always certain in life. What are they? Death and taxes, of course. And yeah, I know. Some of y'all didn't know that. Come on, it's just true. But this we can know, that God has a great promise for us. I firmly believe even in this life. And I look at the lives of the patriarchs. I look at the lives of the closest followers of Jesus. And though many of them ended in tragic, horrible, and terrible endings, in the eyes of the world, I can't help but see that they entered and stepped into eternity with such security and peace, and the promise that God had for them, that he would not just have a place for them, but he would use them. You know, Monday is Martin Luther King Day. What an amazing man. I can't even fathom what it was like to live in a period of segregation, because I never have. I'm very grateful that my parents, children of immigrants, it was colorblind completely. Thank God. I'm so grateful for that, because I can't imagine what it was like to live in a society that was so divided. And in many respects, there is division still, but I can't imagine when it was the law of the land. But let me tell you, the transformation that has taken place, at least legally in our country, and listen to me, I'm believing that God will use us to be a bridge and wreck the racial divide that is in our community, because I hate it. It doesn't even make logical sense, because the reality is, I don't even know why I'm talking about this. There's not going to be black and white in heaven. Y'all realize that? There's just not. It just seems the most ridiculous, insane thing from, I don't get it. Anyway. I'm very grateful for how I grew up. But that whole process of a nation changing, there was a catalyst that took place, not just in one man, because it wasn't just Martin Luther King Jr. It was a movement when people came together. And truthfully, on both sides, black and white, something happens when we work together. And I'm telling you, in preparing for a change, it's so true. And we see God's heart for a nation in Exodus. And because the same is true for us today, because God has a heart for you, and I want you to know that. But I want you to understand that your relationship with him, while personal, is not exclusively for you, and that God's called us to life together, that we can work together, and that it's no surprise that we see both in the Old Testament and Exodus, God moving when his people were together. We see it in the New Testament and Acts, when his people were together, God moved and showed up. And I'm just believing that there's a unification, not just within our body, but within the body of Christ, that we can see people from different cultures, from different backgrounds, from maybe even some different theological points of view, that we recognize that God is, that Jesus is his son who died on the cross for us, and we can come together to see the world transformed for him. I firmly believe that. Listen to me. It's not ideology. It's not that I'm an idealist, but I believe that what Jesus said is absolutely true. And at the end of the day, it's so simple. Amen. It really is simple. Father, not my will, but yours. That's the simplicity of it. It's the example that we see in Jesus. Not my will, but yours. Listen to me carefully. His will is you to set down your sin. You to surrender to his purpose and his plan and allow him to take you from slavery to freedom, to the place of promise for his people. It's not hard. So today, I want to talk to you out of Exodus 19. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background from Exodus up to 19, Exodus 1 to 19. God's people were in slavery. God called Moses, called him out, showed up to him in the wilderness, broke 400 years of silence to speak to one guy and said, I've got a call on your life, and it's called to set my people free. You're going to be my mouthpiece. You're going to go and speak to Pharaoh, to the king of the land, and you're going to tell him that God wants his people free because he's got a place for them. And Moses does it, and through a miraculous series of plagues and a king who had a hard heart towards God and God's people, God showed up, and the whole nation marched out of Israel, not as poor former slaves, but as people who had a destiny and a calling. And God gave them favor so that when they asked all of their taskmasters for the wealth, they got all of the gold of Egypt, and they walked out of slavery wealthy. Walked through the Red Sea that parted on either side and ended up at the beginning of the journey that God had for them. Only to realize that the journey was right through the desert, and they didn't have any food, and they didn't have anything to drink. And yet God miraculously showed up, turned bitter salt water fresh, gave them manna every day to eat, gave them quail when they wanted meat. And now they are in chapter 19, right at the foot of Mount Sinai. And so this is what we're going to read. Y'all ready? Are y'all following along here? Good. Exodus 19, verses 1 through 8. It's been 2 months since they got out of slavery. Exactly 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. After breaking camp at Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and set up camp there at the base of Mount Sinai. So you got it, 2 months before they were slaves. Now they're at the base of Mount Sinai in the Sinai Peninsula outside of Egypt. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "Give these instructions to the family of Jacob and announce it to the descendants of Israel. You've seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings. I brought you to myself. Now, if you'll obey me and keep my covenant, you'll be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on the earth, for all the earth belongs to me. You'll be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel." So Moses returned from the mountain and called together the elders of the people and told them everything the Lord had commanded him. And the people responded together, "We'll do everything the Lord has commanded." So Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord. Today's message is preparing for change. You got to be willing to prepare for a change in your life. How do we prepare for change? Because it seems like change just happens. And let me just tell you that in life, change does happen. Have you ever experienced the unexpected? Lose a job, lose a family member. Something came out of left field and just blindsided you and took you out. Change can happen. But it usually seems like change happens in the wrong direction when it's unexpected. It's much more often that you get the unexpected in a bad way than in a good way. I'm talking about life-altering change. It usually happens unexpectedly like that. Like you get the phone call, or you get the pink slip, or you find out the truth about this person. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Yes. And if you want to prepare for God change in your life, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get ready for the pain, baby. Because it's coming. Because every good thing, this world in its broken, sinful state, it's like when you turn to God, like if you walk in this way, and but God's calling you this way, when you turn, it's like everything in the world just hits you head on. It's like, I don't know if you've ever been on a bike and you're riding with the wind and you're like, this is so much fun. It's great. And maybe it's a little bit downhill. Like, oh, this is great. Look how fast I can go. I can't even feel the wind. You're like, and then you turn it around. And you're like, what in the heck just happened? Because now I've got a headwind and I'm going uphill. This is no fun. And you're like cranking it up. Nobody's ever done this. Come on. Have y'all been there? When we turn to God and we say, Lord, I want it your way. It's very simple. It's follow him. But oftentimes, it's not that easy, though it's simple. 2 months, they're out of slavery. And where do they go? The middle of nowhere, to a mountain. How do we prepare for change? Here's how. Here's the first one. We have to get to the place of God. Moses goes to the mountain of God. And this raises a theological question. Where is God? Where's God? Come on, y'all, there's no wrong answer. Where is God? Y'all all wrong. He's everywhere. Yeah, y'all say y'all are right. He's everywhere. So if God is, and we know this biblically, God is omnipresent. He's all powerful. He's all knowing, and he is everywhere all at once. And yet for some reason, biblically, we see over and over that there are some places that people go to get with God. Now, how do you rectify, okay, we know that God is everywhere on this hand, but that people are going to a specific place on this hand to be with God? Does this make any sense to you? Like, I'm just gonna be honest, it doesn't make much sense to me. Like when I like try and wrap my mind around it rationally, but I also recognize that it's been very true in my own life. That there are places that I know I need to go. I need to get with God. We're gonna look at the first three verses. This is what it says in Exodus 19. Exactly 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. After breaking camp at Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai, and they set up camp there at the base of Mount Sinai. Look at verse 3. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain. Moses climbed the mountain. God was everywhere. Why did he climb the mountain? Listen to me. Because he knew that was the place that he could meet with God. Where is that place for you? Where is that place? You want to prepare for a change? You better get ready to climb the mountain. And if you've never done mountain climbing, I have. Let me tell you what it's like. It's hard. It's hard. It's tiring. It's exhausting. It's painful. But when you get up to the top, it's so worth it because the view is unbelievable. And many people never get to the place where they can see clearly what God has for them because they're unwilling to climb the mountain and go to the place that they know that they need to be in their walk with God. Let me tell you, is that spiritual? Yes. Is it metaphorical? Yes. Is it physical for a lot of people? Yeah, because I know where I'm supposed to be in the mornings. I know what I'm supposed to do. And my wife, she knows too, but it ain't the mornings for her because she's not a morning person. She knows what she's got to do because she's a nighttime person. I don't care where it is. You know, listen to me carefully. You know where you got to go to get to the place where you can hear from God. And if you're unwilling to get into that place, you can prepare for no change in a good way in your life. This makes sense, guys. Like, this message is like so foundationally simple. And I'm going to encourage you to get to the place of God. You have to get into the presence of God. Maybe that's you got to get in your vehicle and you got to crank up the worship music and you got to drown everything else out. And you know, that's where I meet with God. Listen, there are times, listen to me carefully, and this isn't my message, so if it's all scattered, y'all forgive me. There are times where God meets with us. Moses encountered that at the burning bush. Wasn't expected. God just showed up. And I can't explain this, but sometimes it's like God almost plays like a holy game, a hide and seek. I'm like, God, where are you at? Where are you at? But if you listen, if you seek, if you ask, if you knock, listen to me, you'll find. But you have to be willing to get to the place of being in God's presence. It was a couple months ago, I was praying in my place in the morning, and I didn't feel like it at all. I just didn't want to do it. I didn't feel like doing it. And I've got my journal open, and I'm praying through things and people in my journal. I just don't feel like it. And I'm like, Lord, I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling. And I got a revelation. He spoke to me. And it's about the importance of us getting to the place of God and getting in his presence. And I saw a picture in my brain. It wasn't an audible word. It was just a picture. And it was like a big bucket, like a big 5-gallon bucket. And there was one drop, bloop, that dropped into it. And he said, that's like your prayers. I'm like, oh, that's great. That's great. There's an empty bucket. And I got one drop. Now, why did I feel so dry, God? That's my prayer in a big old bucket, one little drop. And then I just began to see drop after drop after drop until the bucket filled up. And he spoke to me and he said, each day is like a drop in the bucket. When you spend time in prayer, you spend time in my presence, each day is a drop in that bucket. And the reason that people live a dry spiritual life, a dry life in their walk with God, is because it's every 3 days. Let me tell you, it's evaporating out, baby. It's evaporating out. And you wonder why it's dry. But if we consistently and continually climb the mountain, do the hard thing that you don't want to do. Listen, I know that if I'm going to get in shape, I got to go to the place that I hate. It's called the gym, and it's a dungeon, and it's hell, and I don't like it. But guess what? It brings about transformation and change that I do like. Because the physical is a mirror of the spiritual in that respect. And we got to get to the place. Are you saying that you don't like the presence of God? No, I love the presence of God. But sometimes it's like climbing a mountain to go get there. You got to like, I got to climb up that to go there. Yes, you do. Man, y'all are really quiet. But that daily drop in that bucket fills up over time. As one drop turns into two, two turns into 20, 20 turns into 200, 200 turns into 20,000, and before you know it, you have a source of life, something to drink from for you, for those who are weary. It's a watering hole for the weary. It's a place to drown the enemy in your life. Man, you got to get to the place of God. Get to the place of God. Here's the second thing. I told you all it's really, really simple. I don't have any fancy. This is very basic. If you want to see a transformation and a change in your life, you've got to do these three simple things. How do we prepare for change? Preparing for change. Get in the place of God. The second thing, get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Look at Exodus 19, 5 and 6. It says this, if you will obey me and keep my covenants, you'll be my own special treasure and among all the peoples of the earth. Look at this. If you'll obey and keep. Here's my question. Do you just read the Bible or listen to the Bible? Or do you obey it? Do you keep it close to you? Because that's when you become God's favored kid. I've had people ask me, which one's your favorite? And I'm like, it's the one that's with me at the moment. So if I'm in the place in the presence of God, if I'm taking his word and I'm obeying it and I'm keeping it, I get the favor of God in my life. I hope y'all are following along with the reading plan. It's really great. It's McShane's, so it's in the YouVersion Bible app, and I just go to my plans and go to McShane's one year Bible, and if you follow it, by the way, I'm listening to it. It takes anywhere from 12 to 15 minutes for me to listen to it in my vehicle. It's a commute. And I decide, and if I listen to this word, if I'm going to obey and keep it, or, and maybe this has happened in even my short time in reading, that, you know, I'm going to go to Genesis 8, because I'm on the eighth day, and so I...
Chapter 8.
So, man, I can listen to it. You know, it's great. Got God's word in my life. Listening to the Bible. I'm getting into the word of God. But listen to me carefully. There's a difference between listening to the word of God or reading the word of God and it getting into you. Because this is what I found driving. If I'm not focusing on keeping God's word at the forefront of my mind so that I can obey it, it just becomes background noise. And I can drive with the Bible going 24/7. Yeah, isn't this great? But I'm thinking about something else because I'm not allowed the word of God to get into me. So if you want to get into the word of God, that really means you've got to allow God's word to get into you. Because here's the reality. I'm looking for a change. No, what we're really needing is a transformation. I need a transformation that never happens outside a renovation of my heart. And if I'm going to have a renovation of my heart, I have to open it to God's word. That's why I'm going to say, get into the Bible, get into the presence of God, because we need this. Man, this is going to be a short message. Nobody's crying. I'm surprised y'all not cheering. I think so here, and here's what I think many people think. They think of their time in God's presence, taking time to shut everything else out and to pray and to read the Bible. It's like that's the destination for every good Christian. No, it's not. That's not the destination. I don't want you to misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not saying this is the destination that I have for you, that you're spending 5 hours in prayer and worship and 2 hours a day in Bible. So that's not the destination. Here's what I want us to get, that is not the destination. That is simply the means to transformation. Does this make sense? So I want a new day for you, but it's never going to happen unless we truly get into the presence of God and into the word of God, because it is those things that bring about the transformation that everybody's looking for. But people get distracted because they think it's a destination. Let me tell you, that destination, if you focus on those two things as destination, it's a boring one. But if you believe, I'm going to meet with God. I'm not going to plug in a CD. Who plugs in CDs? Nobody plugs in CDs anymore. I'm not going to put on just worship music. I'm not just going to pray. I am climbing the mountain to the presence of God because I want him to speak into my open heart. Here's the third thing. How do we prepare for change? We have to get with the people of God. We have to get with the people of God. Exodus 19, 7 and 8 says, so Moses returned from the mountain. So he goes, he meets with God. I mean, we can leave that scripture up. So Moses goes up there and he hears from God. God tells him, hey, you need to go down and tell the nation that I'm with them. They can be with me if they want. I'm paraphrasing heavily. So Moses returned from the mountain and he called together the elders of the people and told them everything the Lord had commanded him. There was a call to do it together. God tells him, go down, talk to the people. He calls them together. Let me just say, God is calling us not just to a personal time where we're spending time in worship and in prayer and in Bible. Those are good things. They're good things. It's not the destination. It's a means to transformation. But it's a call to do it together. Throughout Scripture, here's what we see. It's the body of Christ. In the Old Testament, we see the nation of Israel. In the New Testament, we see the body of Christ. And in neither one is it so personal that it requires nobody else but you and God. But the reality is that from Genesis to Revelation, here's what we see, that there is a call to do it together. What happens when people come together in unity is unbelievable. When the nation of Israel came together and believed God, amazing things happened. Even in their unity of despair, despair. And this is why I've listened to me. This is why I believe there's a move of God coming to this generation. I firmly believe it, because in the middle of their despair and slavery, when they cried out, God answered. Why? Because there was a unified cry. And the book of Acts, when we see the believers come together and pray together for God to do a big thing, he does an unbelievable thing. Why? Because there was a call together and they did it together. Let me just tell you, God's called us to do life together. So here's the reality. Number one, you need friends. We all do. But we need godly friends who can encourage us on the journey. This is why you saw Pastor Josh up here grabbing the small group devotional and saying, get plugged in with this. Listen, everybody can have one. And you can do it on your own, but you'll miss the point. And listen to me, you'll miss the call together. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 8. This is what it says. It says, all of the people responded together. Everybody say together. Together. We're going to do what the Lord's commanded. The call wasn't just for an individual. It was for a group of people. And listen to me, God's called us together to see his kingdom come, to see his will be done. That is what he's calling all of us to. Are you getting with the people of God? Listen to me, when you get into the word of God, when you get into the place of God, when you get with the people of God, and this is the next blank, and here's what you can expect. Here's what you got to get ready for, because we're preparing for the change by getting to the place of God, into the word of God, getting with the people of God. Here's what you can expect. The presence and the power of God in your life. And this is what the church needs. This is what I need. This is what we need, that where big crazy things happen. I mean, I'm reading in Ezra because it's part of the Bible reading plan. I'm actually listening. And where God gives such unbelievable favor for a group of people who obey him, and they go back to the temple grounds that are completely devastated. They've been devastated by Babylon, but they go back, and then God gives them this supernatural favor. Why? Because they answered his call together. They were in his presence. They were in his word. They were doing it together. Something happens. Listen, I told y'all this wasn't a fancy, flashy message, and it's not. But it's foundational. Five steps to your best year yet. That just means you got to climb the mountain. Anybody here ever lost a good bit of weight? Come on, don't be ashamed of that. Come on. Have y'all? Good, I'm proud of you. That's great. Was it easy? Come on, was it easy? I don't care if you lost 5 pounds. Is it easy? No! What do you got to do? You got to work through the misery, work through the pain, because you see the purpose behind it. And the future that you know awaits you if you do what you need to do. Y'all so quiet. I'm telling you, the principle's the same. Am I going to climb the mountain? A lot of you are just tired in the climbing. I'm tired. I'm tired of the climbing. I'm tired of it feeling like my prayers bounce off the ceiling. Like I read the Bible and I get nothing. A lot of people are especially tired of getting with the people of God. Because people will let you down every time. And your best discipline will never get you to the presence of God if you think you are the one who's responsible for the move of God in your life. Did you follow that? It's God, but it's also us. How do you live the life that God has for you? You realize that it has nothing to do with you, but it also has everything to do with you. You get to the place of God. You get into the word of God. I'm just not going to stop harping on the essentials, because I want you to grow in your walk with him. And I want you to know that spiritual growth is for real. It's the process of replacing lies with the truth. That's all spiritual growth is. But you'll never see the lies that the enemy's fed you, the lies that you've believed, until you get into the presence of God, where he can speak to you about who you are, how he created you. You've got to get into the word, because it defines who you are, who God is, and it speaks of the promise promises to come. And you need to get with the people of God because they'll be a spiritual mirror to help you see the things in your own life that you can't see. It's no surprise that our eyes are on the front of our head and we can't see the things that are closest in front of it protruding. I can't see what's on my nose right now, though it sticks out further than my eyes. That's a spiritual picture of we need people. I hope I'm making sense. So, such a basic message. Seek God. Seek God in prayer and worship. Get into His Word. Here's what happens. Exodus 19, 10 and 11. The Lord told Moses, "Go down and prepare the people for my arrival." God's waiting for us. Like, oh God, we just want you to move in such an amazing way. Listen to me, every move of God, like every time God's shown up big time in a group of people, it's not just like randomly, man, like we never expected anything. Go back historically and look through what has taken place prior to God showing up in a huge way. We have a group of people who prepared for it. What's the primary method? Now I'm just talking history because I'm a history nerd and church history is kind of my thing. You know what it was? They began to turn from their sin and turn to God. They climbed the mountain, left the darkness, the sin behind them, believed God's word, and they did it together. So here's the last three things as we wrap up. You gotta first understand God's plan. God's plan for you, listen to me, God's plan for you is to take you from slavery to freedom. You got to first understand His plan. God's plan is to take you from slavery to freedom. That's the book of Exodus. It's the journey of a group of people that God knows and He calls His own. This is you. This is me. He's saying, I hear your cries. I see your suffering and your pain. I'm taking you to a place of freedom and to a place of promise. You got to understand God's plan. You need to believe God's promise. Believe God's promise. Here's the promise. I have a place for you. You need to believe that promise that God has a place for you. Are you in that place? If you're asking that question, I'm telling you, you're maybe not quite there yet. And here's the reality. None of us are quite there yet, but we can move towards the place that we know God has for us. And at the same time, be in it. I know that sounds contradictory, but it's not. And here's the third thing. You need to embrace God and His people. You need to embrace God and His people. And you got to know that God has a people for you. God has a people for you. And you can't say that I love God. Man, those Christians, they done me wrong. Yeah, I'm sure they have because they're people. I love God, but I hate the church. Jesus called the church His bride. And you can't say that, oh man, Pastor, I love you. You're great, but I hate your wife. Like, we got beef. What does that mean? I got to turn from my unforgiveness. I got to turn from my bitterness. I got to turn to God and receive His forgiveness and give it freely to those that have wronged me. That I'm gonna value the people around me. I know it's hard and uncomfortable. That is backpacking if you're doing it in the mountains. It's hard and uncomfortable, but let me tell you, why do people do it and get addicted? I know I'm one. Because the journey is amazing. I'd be lying if I said it's about the destination. The destination's phenomenal, it's awesome. But it's temporary, it's like that, and it's the journey. Get on the journey that God has for you. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here today and you know that you've been walking the wrong path. And today, God's calling you to change course. He's calling you to Him. Maybe you've never recognized God in the way that you are right now. Maybe you're here and you know that He's knocking on the door of your heart. So how do you How do you answer? How do you answer God's knocking on your heart? How do you do that? It's really simple. First, it's like ABC. You acknowledge your own shortcomings and sin, and that you've been walking your way. And then B, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for your sin so that you could know God. And here's the third thing. C, you confess. You say, Lord, I need you. I recognize my sin. I believe, Jesus, you paid the price for my sin. God, I'm surrendering my life to you. I want it to be a new day and a new you for you. And maybe you're here and you know that today that God is dealing with you right now. And you need to acknowledge that you've done your own thing. You've done it your way. The Bible says that's sin. You need to believe with all of your heart that there's a revelation moment that Jesus is who he says he is. He's not just some guy that's hanging on a cross, but you're recognizing today that he is alive and that he is here knocking on the door of your heart, and he's whispering to you in the depths of who you are, I know you and I love you. Open your heart to me. And you need to make the decision to open your heart to him and surrender your life to him. Nobody's looking around right now, but if you're here and you say, Pastor, today I know this message was for me. I need to open my heart to him. If that's you, just raise your hand. We're very high right now. Say, that's me, Pastor. Thank you. I see you back here, right here. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else over here? I see you. Anyone over here? I see you. Thank you. I want all of us right now to just pray together. And if you raised your hand, just pray this out from the depths of your heart. Say, dear Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I turn from my way and my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we give a hand for all those folks that just surrendered their life to Christ? Open the door to Jesus. Listen, if you raised your hand, here's what I'm going to ask of you, just a couple things. Number one, fill out the card in the seat back in front of you. Let us know what God's doing in your life, and you can drop that either in the boxes by the doors on the way out, or you can bring them to the Connection Center. Or here's the second thing. You can pray with one of our ministry team members who are going to be coming up at the foot of the crosses when we dismiss, which is happening right now. So why don't y'all stand up, stand to your feet. Don't pack up and walk out yet. We're about to do that in about 20 seconds. Isn't it awesome what God's doing? Good. Let's do it together. Get into a group. And if you made a decision today, you let us know. Connect with somebody. Are you glad you came to church this morning? All right, well, let's pray and you'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for this time today. I just pray that there's just a move of your spirit in our lives because we are climbing the mountain to be with you. Father, thank you for what you've done in so many people's lives today. May it be just the beginning, and we honor you and praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Love you guys. Best is yet to come. Have a great Sunday.